I'd like to read three well-known scriptures, and the first is found in the book of Job. Chapter 33 comes before the Psalms. Book of Job, chapter 33, and verse number 13. Maybe verse 12. Behold, in this thou art not just, they will answer thee, that God is greater than man. Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. For God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in the vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men and slumberings upon the bed. Verse 18, he keepeth back his soul from the pit, and his life from perishing by the sword. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain. Verse number 22, yea, my soul draweth near unto the grave, and his soul draweth near unto the grave and his life to the destroyers. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his or God's uprightness, then he is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Verse 27, he looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God oft times with man, to bring back his soul from the pit, and to be enlightened with the light of the living. Now turn to the book of Luke in the New Testament, Luke's Gospel, Matthew, Mark, and then Luke, on chapter 13. Verse 22, and he went through the cities and villages, teaching on journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. Now there's one final reference in the first book of our Bible, and in the book of Genesis, on chapter 6. And verse number 3, Genesis 6 and verse number 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now it's easy to follow, I'm sure, at least if there's not the connection, there's the word in each of the passages, and that is the word strive. And it's found in the three passages. In Job chapter 33, it's found, why dost thou strive against God? Is the great question here in Job 33. And then we have the word that Christ utters to the question, answers to the question that was posed to him. Are there few that be saved? And he said, strive to enter in. And then finally, the solemn reality of the principle found etched in the book of Genesis that carries right through every dispensation, and that is, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You see, within the warp and woof of men and women, it's true of us all, we're all the same. Coming from the hand of God, and then Adam sinning, and throwing the whole human family into chaos, and into ruin and sin. It's within every heart, every warp and woof of humanity to complain against the Almighty. And when things happen drastically in our world, generally speaking, and I've heard it many, many, many times, the first thing they'll say is, where's God? And why did God allow this to happen?
and the four long, there's accusations against the Almighty. It's within us all. It's not only found in the battlefield. It's found in the busy streets of our cities. It's found, my friend, in Skid Row. And it's found in the high places of the land. The same principle. We seem to almost feel when things go wrong, we strive against God. And we cast it back in the teeth of God. And all the time, you know, all the time, God allows, in His infinite wisdom, things to happen in your life and my life with the chief purpose of bringing sinners to Christ. Now get a hold of that, friend. You may not trace it now in your life if you're not saved. You may think things are not, that's not relevant to me, and that really isn't true, what you're saying. But if you could see it tonight, possibly you would say to us, you know, I can see the reason why things happen in my life. God was singling me out. God was trying to reach me. God was trying to cross my path. God was trying to awaken my mind and my conscience. God was trying to tell me, I have an interest in you. I want your blessing. And my friend, I hope tonight we could etch upon your mind that God wants your eternal blessing. The devil wants your eternal ruin. And sin will bring you, my friend, to eternal death. But the God of heaven, who speaks here in the book of Job, it's very clear the principle embedded upon in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, is the things that happen to humankind, God allows, oft times, to draw man from his purpose. And to hide pride from man. And then he goes on to say, if there be a messenger, one in a thousand, to teach man God's uprightness, he will say, deliver him from going down to the pit. Now I want to get to this text because I don't want to linger here. But I do want to get to this. If any say, I have sinned, and perverted that which is right, it says in the book of Job here, that he will deliver his soul from the pit and his life shall see the light. You see, friend, God has your ultimate blessing in view. See, people get a wrong conception of God, and they seem to have in their mind that God's sitting up there in the circle of the universe, and he really he's not interested in what's going on in my life. And he's not interested in what's happening in my life. And he doesn't see the tremendous things through which I have gone. Friends, you are all wrong. God's watching every moment. And he knows every circumstance. And he allows things. Do you know why? He wants to alert you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to bless you. That's why our brother has mentioned other nights, sometimes people in telling their conversions will say, the day the child died. Or as you have in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, God spoke very definitely and uniquely to Isaiah the prophet to bring him to reality. And so God does that. If God doesn't do that, all my preaching and all our preaching will go nowhere, friend. It'll go out through the door, out through the windows, and nothing will be accomplished. But if God etches upon your mind that during my little lifetime down here, God is trying to speak to me. And that's why he allows things in my life.
If you could save yourself, thank God. If that hadn't have happened, I was taken into a little room in the county of Armagh, in the town of Armagh, city of Armagh, Northern Ireland. Probably that was the real nail that reached my heart with a piercing note that started me really thinking about reality. The first time I ever touched a corpse was in that room. And I was as careless and as reckless and is heedless to the voice of God.
I was almost saying, please leave me alone. Don't bother me, I'm doing all right. But that day when I was taken into a little room and pulled back the black draping curtain, I went into a little bedroom, and in that room there was a coffin, and that coffin was open, and in that coffin there lay my grandmother. The remains. She had gone out of this life. She departed and left behind her an empty shell. That's all it was. The first time I didn't want to do it, and I even didn't want to go in. So my mother said, you'd better go in and pay respects to your grandmother. And I went in and I went over, I was all alone. And I did it, I don't know why I did it. I've done it a few times since and I don't like doing it, but I did it.
I touched the head. I felt the coldness. And across her chest was an open Bible. And I recall so clearly there was a mark under a particular verse in that Bible. And I shot her. The word that was used in her conversion as a young girl. Now she's about 89 or 90 years of age. And I'll never forget when I stood there, you know, and I wasn't one to break down. That's the hardest thing for to get me to break down. I wasn't that kind. I kind of would bite my lip or I would do anything rather than let anyone see me cry. I was too proud. But I bit my lip. And I started to think, and the tears started to trickle down my face. I remember, just like yesterday, God speaketh once, yea, twice. Thank God I perceived it. I said, Albert, if that was your mind in the coffin, where was your soul? And the flash had just come to me, your soul would be in hell.
I remember walking out into that upstairs landing, and then went downstairs and a number of preachers were there, Mr. Eddie Allen, Mr. McPhail, a few, and they were having a little word in the house, and I bit my lip. I said, you're not going to see me cry.
I'll receive it. You know something, it would do you good just to hear his voice.
You'll be good, do you good to break. You see, the stubborn heart of man will not break or bend. It takes God to cross their path and just to come into their life, whatever it is he wants to touch, just to speak to you and tell you, God speaking, once, yea, twice, in a vision, in a dream of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, sometimes in sickness, sometimes he brings us to the very edge of eternity, and then draws us back for one purpose, friend. He loves us. And he wants our good, he wants our blessing. And so if a person, my friend, will bow and acknowledge, yes, God is trying to bless me, and he wants to save me. Do you know how much God wants to save you tonight?
You don't know.
You really don't know. And if you ask the preacher, well, how much does he want to save you? I can't tell you either, but I do know he wants. He's gone to an extreme life that no vocabulary could ever disclose to a human heart. I can only tell you John 3:16 answers it the best. That's how much God wants to save you, friend. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It was in the old damp cell. In fact, it was death row. And in that cell was a young man, had been brought from a home for bad boys as a young man, and brought to Sunday school by a certain policeman, known in this meeting. Some of them know the man I mean. But to cut the story short, to get where I want to get. When he was found guilty of murder, which he denied and finally acknowledged, and to see it in the prison cell. And see it in the prison cell. Dear mother. That dear mother, even though her son's hand was stained with human blood, she cried continually
for a priest
She wanted to get the boy off. It was too tight. She couldn't do it. But she had the opportunity of being with that boy before he went out to the gallows, the last hanging in Northern Ireland. The last hanging. And as he spoke to her, he said, "Mother, I know I'm going to heaven. I trusted Christ." I was reading Luke chapter 23, with the thief that turned in repentance and trusted the Savior. He says, "Mother, I'm getting what I deserve. I'm going out to the gallows. I deserve it. I'm very sorry, but I can't turn the clock back." And I saw the very letter he wrote to those people. I read it, had it in my heart. A letter from a murderer. I'll never forget it. And he said to that dear woman, "Mother," he says, "Mother, unless you trust my Savior, you'll never meet me in heaven."
You know what she said?
Listen to this. You're very privileged tonight. See that text? You can look at it without looking at it, you can look at it. She said, "I don't know anything of the Bible, son." You know what he taught her in the common room here? John 3:6. And according to the report that I heard, which is very authentic, was going to be put in a tract and then the refrain from doing it, that mother got saved before she left. You know how she got saved? John 3:6. What am I telling you that for? I'm telling you that God wants the ultimate blessing, even of the worst.
And my friend, you sitting in the meeting tonight, you will never, never, never be able to accuse God and say, "God didn't bother with me, and God didn't want to bless me, and God just let me pass on." Never, friend. God has been trying constantly, continually, daily, monthly, yearly, every decade. He's been trying to reach you.
Cross your path, get you the thing.
God speak at once. Don't strive against him. See, that's what the hymn writer had in mind.
"Against the God that doth despise, I fought with hands uplifted high. Despised the mention of his name, too proud to see behind his face." Why do you hold on to that pride, friend? Resist God. Well, I have my own idea. Why not find what not? Here's what it says.
If there be a messenger. And again, I want to get a hold of this. It says these words, "If there be a messenger, one with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show man God's uprightness, then he is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from the down to the pit. I have found a ransom." You know, friend, tonight, for the sinner who will acknowledge his guilt, for the sinner who faces God in reality, for the sinner that stops striving and fighting against God has a ransom to meet your needs. And a ransom just basically means, without going into the technicalities of it and the intricate meaning of it, one thing it basically means, there has been a price paid or laid down to deliver or to ransom or to rescue that sinner. That's what it means. What are you going to do with the ransom, friend? As we look at Calvary, and think of the cross, and think of the suffering Savior, and think of what he did at Calvary to pay the price, to pay the ransom demanded. The ransom demanded was death. The wages of sin is death. That's what my friend, the demands of sin required.
The Lord Jesus said, the rest of Christ. And this is free. Don't resist them. Don't strive against them. Put them in the hands of the vendor.
The other verse is this. When they come to the Lord Jesus and he's moving on his way to the cross,
one said to him, "Under few to be saved." Now that's an ancient question. It's long question. People are still asking it. And they look at a little group and they still say, "Under few to be saved." Still ask that. Maybe you're asking that. That this hall was filled and they couldn't get in and we had to get a bigger hall, and we had to get a bigger place, and we had 3 pastors, or 4 pastors, or 10 pastors coming. People said, well, maybe there must be something to this. And people stood after this, and refused to do it. Don't get up here, how you're doing. Listen to this. You try to join prayer.
You make up your mind, I'm not going to this heaven. You make up your mind, yes,
God is busy upon human hearts and human minds. That salvation must be priority. I'm going to ask you kindly tonight,
just very kindly, personally and beseechingly and compassionately, how much do you really want to be saved? If you shout out, I'll wait for you. How much do you really want to be saved? Some might say, well, it's quite good. I agree with you. But when it comes right down to when the tire hits the road and right down to the nitty gritty, within your mind, yes, sometime I'll maybe think about it. And maybe at the end I'll maybe grasp like a drowning man for a life belt. I'll maybe grasp then, but not now. Listen, friend, could you take it from a man of 61 years of age? You'll never make it to heaven unless you put a priority. Unless it comes down to now. Tomorrow, sun might never rise. To bless thy long deluded sight, this is the time. Oh, then be wise. Thou wouldst be saved, why not tonight? You know, people don't like to be pressed. We're not pressing you. We can't transmit salvation to you. That's outside the realm of any preacher or any man. No man should try to do that. That's outside our scope. But we do press and persuade men to turn to Christ. It's very urgent. Has to be that, friend. And so the Lord says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now, you've come to a number of meetings.
Tell me, can I read your heart? Have you got any word tonight? Up until tonight? That impresses you that I should get salvation now? Or are you still thinking, as often people think, these meetings will not be one, a few more than that in another room? And the more they close the meetings, they are not changed.
Says the Lord Jesus, you want to strive. The word strive here, you know what the word means.
It means night and night. It means to put everything into it. It means that everything else goes to the board.
It means all has to be dropped. This must be priority. Nothing else matters. When a man's got in to win gold at the Olympics, he's not thinking, my friend, of going to the beer parlor.
When a man's been in for the win gold at the Olympics, he's not thinking, my friend, of wasting the whole night in revelry. He wants to be his fittest. He's going to put his best. I can't now hear someone say, I thought you said salvation's free and yet you're trying to describe.
Yeah.
That's the way the mind works, isn't it? Well, I want to tell you that God never shaped the mind against his way.
And God never pushes
God a person's mind and into our hearts. God is always looking for the response that person really wants. Is that right? Is that the way you look at it?
Yeah. That's how I think. God was waiting. I might not have said the words verbally and audibly in God's presence as I walked out the road that night, but I said basically in my heart, Lord, no matter what it costs, I want
it. I did remember saying, I didn't write on. Don't know why, I just said, Lord, no matter what. I don't care what it costs. My soul is either going to be in heaven or hell.
And my soul's either going to sing with those around the throne happily and eternally, or going to be in the gloom of darkness to weep and wail and gnash my teeth. Listen, friend,
that was real. Please, 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 bear with me. Hear me, my friend. Hear me, my friend. As I stand here in Christ's stead as an ambassador, don't you put off salvation.
You make it priority. You put it first and foremost. The only thing that really matters for us. The devil, my friend, has all the ploys, and has all the schemes, and all the traps to entrap you, and snare you, friend.
And the world calls you, and your friends to deceive you. Your own heart, friend, is the objective. And God has the desire. You know, the biggest danger is this, in my closing remarks, driving with them, wanting them to come to Christ, taking them from the broad road, pointing them to the Savior, and through the instrumentality of the preacher, or the track giver, or the store, or my friend just attracted to reading, or the Word of God, God is trying by His Spirit to direct you to Christ, the only door, the only way.
The Spirit stops striving. I say this, like the fetus of any other, because I hear it in every gospel. The Spirit of God ceases to strive. You're doomed forever. You can listen to the plainest, most pointed, most powerful, most personal. May God grant that to close this meeting. God may speak to your heart. Break your stubborn will. Make you surrender at the foot of the cross. Turn you to a Christ that died to save you. Trust Him.